may think that one lost lamb, it wouldn't be too much to a shepherd with so many in the fold.
But our Savior weeps for every sheep out on the hillside, rough and steep, wandering in the darkness and the cold. 'Cause He loves to save, He loves to rescue from the grave, He loves to find that lamb He loves, the lamb whose strain He'll take the time and leave the 99. I'm here today 'cause He loves to save.
That He would climb the rocky hills of death just to save me from the consequence of sin.
And yet He chose to walk that road, to suffer and to die alone, so that one day I'd be found and taken in. 'Cause He loves to save, He loves to rescue from the grave, He loves to find that lamb He loves, that lamb whose strain He'll take the time and leave the 99. I'm here today 'cause He loves to save, He'll take the time and leave the 99. I'm here today 'cause He loves to save, He loves to save.
Amen. Take your Bibles if you would, please, and we're going to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight, please. When you find that, if you stand to your feet, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and read a couple of verses here, verse 12 and 13 tonight. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12 and 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." We're going to be talking about the subject that we've covered the last couple of weeks, other than we took a break last week with our missions trip recap and things of that nature, but talking about failures. And so tonight we're going to talk about the subject of avoiding failures in our lives. How to avoid failures. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, I pray for your help tonight. Give me wisdom and strength and boldness to preach your word. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts from the word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we, again, took a break for a week on this subject, actually it was a couple of weeks because we were gone the week before that, but looking at the subject of avoiding failures in our life, you know that none of us are exempt from failure in life. There's not a single person that's going to go through life without any falls, any failures, any sin. All of us have a sinful body that we carry and we walk through life, and it's a battle, it's a struggle that we face in our lives. A few weeks ago now, we talked about when you fail. And Jesus spoke of that, I believe, in the book of Luke that says, when ye fail. Not if, but when. When you face failures in lives, what do? The book of Proverbs says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And we're going to face failures in life, but failure shouldn't define our life. Failure shouldn't define our lives, that where we fail and we quit and we give up and we fall to sin and we don't get back up. No, failure is part of life, but we should confess our sin and get right with God and stay faithful to the things that are right in our lives to get back up, because we will fall, we will sin, but when you fail, but then also when others fail. And many times in people's lives, we can use excuses of why we don't do what we should do because of the failures of others. That's very common, where people will say, well, I am who I am because of the failures of my parents, my grandparents, someone in my life, and I am who I am because of them. Well, we can't use that as an excuse to sin because they sin. And so what do we do when others fail, when others fall? We should continue staying faithful. We should love those that have failed and fallen. Pray for them, forgive them. I'm not going to re-preach the messages there, but tonight is talking about avoiding failures. How do we avoid the failures in life? Now, this morning, I didn't really have any use of the backdrop in the message, but as you think of a jungle theme, all right, we're in VBS mode. It's hard to not look at this. Some were counting the monkeys this morning and the vines and the leaves and all that. Don't do that tonight. But you think about this, going through the forest, there's a lot of dangers that you could face out there. We went on a camping trip a few weeks ago, about a month ago now, and it was a nice lake and a smooth walk around it, and it wasn't supposed to be very long, and it was almost dark, and I looked at Joel and said, let's go walk around the lake. We had headlamps on, and that was completely it. No safety. We're out in the wilderness. There could be no danger in the wilderness, right? Wrong. And so we're like, let's go on a walk. And I thought everyone was going to want to join us. They're like, no, you're good. Go ahead. And we're like, let's go anyway, you know, adventure. And so we're going out on this hike, and it was just about dark. We got about 50 feet ahead, and there was a deer that was in the brush, and it went along the side. And I thought, oh, there's a deer. Went another 50 feet or so, and there was a bunny, a little rabbit, and it jumps off in the woods. And then it started getting dark, and then it started getting really dark. And they started to think, maybe this wasn't the best decision. But you commit now, and you're going around the lake, and we're heading around there. And the further we go, the darker it gets. And now it's pitch black. And as we go around this lake, and we notice little two shining eyeballs facing back at us. And then you think, I wonder what that is. I mean, you can keep going, but I don't want to turn my back on the eyeballs. I don't know what it is. And so I stare at it for a while, you know, we're going to have that stare down moment and see who's going to win on that. And I look at it and I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure that's a deer. And we keep going and more eyeballs and more eyeballs and more eyeballs. And we're going, this was not the best idea that I've ever had. And so we get around most of the lake and then it catches the road. We can continue through the wilderness around the lake or stay on the road. And I was like, we're staying on the road. It made it a lot longer. We kept seeing eyeballs. We kept seeing eyeballs. I don't know how many we saw. And by the time we got done with that, we were not as excited about that hike as when we started. And we got back, I'm like, did you have protection? I said, we picked up some sticks along the way. And I was doing the hey bear thing, and Joel thought we were really seeing a bear. I was like, no, I'm trying to alert the bear if we're coming. I don't know what good that's going to do at that point. I've got a stick and a rock, and I'm not David. And so I'm going to get on my knees and pray. But avoiding failures. And there's things in life where you're going through the jungle, if you will, and you know that there's dangers out there. Are you wise enough to avoid the dangers, to see what's ahead, so that you don't fall prey as you go through life? The Bible talks about, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That overconfidence, that pride is very dangerous. To think, well, I couldn't fall to that, I know better. That's a dangerous thing. The Bible says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Everyone is going to face temptations and battles in life, and your temptations and battles may be different in some part to the battles that I may face in some manner, but everyone's going to face temptations. But the key tonight is this, to avoid the temptations, to avoid the failures. If we go through life and we're ignorant to the devil, we're ignorant to our flesh, we're ignorant to this wicked world, we're going to fall to every temptation out there. But I pray tonight as a church, as families, that we'd be wise enough to look ahead, to see the danger that could face your life or your family's life and avoid some failures, some temptations in your life. You know, Satan is good at what he does, right? Satan's good at what he does. As a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Satan's going around looking whose lives he can destroy. And we better be wise, because Satan is good at what he does. And our flesh is wicked, and this world is wicked. And if we're not careful, we're going to fall to all the sin that is facing us around us each and every day. The Bible says we're in a battle between the flesh and the spirit. When you get saved, you have that spiritual nature, and now you're in a battle the rest of your life, that the flesh and the spirit, the Bible says, they're contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And it's a battle in this life to avoid temptation and sin and failure. Do you ever get discouraged in life that you're not getting better victory over sin? That you're not able to avoid the sin and failures in life, then you feel like you should be doing better than you are, than you should be. God gives the victory. Aren't you thankful for that? That God can give the victory. You don't have to fall to every sin and temptation that faces you in life. God wants to help and give you the victory in your life. You know, the best way to defeat a bad habit is to avoid it to begin with. Right? The best way to beat a bad habit is to avoid it before it even begins. Why? Because sin takes a stronghold in our lives. And once that sin gets a stronghold in our life, now you've got to beat that sin, that addiction, that failure in your life. And you've got to, with God's help, break those bonds. But I want to give you some truths from the Word of God tonight with many scripture verses. I don't think we'll finish tonight. We're going to finish on time and get to the things we have later on as well. But I want to give you some scriptures tonight to avoid some of the failures. You notice this, that Satan is using the same tactics over and over and over again. And the sad thing is that it keeps working. Why? Because we're not wise enough to look at others' lives, to look in the Word of God, and to see, well, if Satan beat them there, then I'm going to have some safeguards so I don't fail in those same areas as well. So I want to give you some truths tonight that I believe can help us to avoid some areas of sin in our life. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to fail the Lord. I don't want to fail my family. I don't want to fail our church as a Christian. I don't want to fail God. I want to be strong enough as a Christian, but many times I'm discouraged in my life that I'm not as strong as I should be, that I'm not as close to God as I should be. I'm not as good of a Christian as I should be, but there's some truths from the Word of God that I believe can help us. And I want to have you turn to a number of scripture verses, so get your Bibles open. We're going to do sword drills tonight and see how quick you can get there. If you're not sure what that is, it's you give the scripture the book, chapter, and verse, and see who can get it the fastest. We're not going to have you stand up and read them. But in Jeremiah 17:9, I'd like for you to turn to these verses, and as far as we get, and we'll pick up next week. But there's so many truths, I believe, that can help us in our lives to avoid some failures, some traps in our life that the devil is using to destroy lives today. In Jeremiah 17:9, I cheated because I have all the verses written down here, so I'm not turning there with you, but I have the verses here. In Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible says this, the heart is what? Deceitful. Above what? All things. And what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? The first point tonight about avoiding failure is this. Place no confidence in your flesh. Place no confidence in your flesh. The most dangerous place to be is this. I'm strong enough to withstand this sin in my own strength. Or to say, I would never fall to that sin. Our text verse says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Lest he fall. The most dangerous place to be is that prideful person to think, I would never fall to that sin. Well, guess what? That's the sin you're probably going to fall to. I would never do that. Be careful, because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart lies to you. Your flesh lies to you and says, this is what will This is what will help you, make you feel good, will be good in your life. You can withstand this, and it's desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? The first point tonight in avoiding failure is knowing this, that you are wicked, that I am wicked. Our heart, our sinful heart, is desperately wicked, and we can place no confidence in the flesh. The best Christians in this world have fallen into some of the greatest sins. And before we jump on their case, and I'm not promoting sin or condoning sin in any sense, but realize this, that they're a sinner just like you and I. And before we think that we're above that sin, we're not. And we can place zero confidence in the flesh. You say, I'm okay doing this because I'm a better Christian and I can handle this sin. You're in a dangerous place in your life and you're playing with fire because you're putting confidence in your flesh that you can handle sin. None of us can handle sin, right? None of us can handle sin, and we can place no confidence in the flesh. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. I want you to look at these verses, maybe underline them, write them down. You don't have to write notes. You can look up the message later if you want, if you need that. But I want you just to listen tonight about this message. Place no confidence in the flesh. In Matthew 26, in verse number 41, the Bible says, still hear pages there. First book in the New Testament. There we go. Matthew 26, verse 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Understand that our flesh is wicked and our flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. You think about King David. There was a time when the kings went off to war. And what did David do? All he did was he stayed behind. But as he stayed behind, he got on the rooftop and he looked out and saw Bathsheba and she was bathing off in the distance. We're talking about King David, a man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel. God used him to pen scripture, to defeat Goliath, the lion and a bear. A greater Christian than I am in many ways, as God would say in the Word of God, but he had a moment of weakness of his flesh when he was by himself. And he had some confidence in his flesh where he shouldn't have had confidence. There's some dangers in our lives of where we put confidence in our flesh. And the dangers are this, of where there's some, you know, you ever get that red flag that goes up in your mind? You get in a scenario, you get around people driving, you get in a store, whatever it is, and just something doesn't feel quite right. And the Holy Spirit, I pray, speaks to your heart and puts up some red flags and your mind and in your heart and says you're in a dangerous place and you better get out of here before it's too late. Some danger areas of this is being alone. Being alone. Remember when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness? When did he tempt him? After he fasted for 40 days, he was hungered and he was alone. The devil didn't tempt Jesus when he was around the disciples or John the Baptist or Joseph and Mary. He tempted him when he was alone. Some of the greatest places of temptation you'll have is when you're all alone. And we must safeguard in those areas. Doesn't mean you cannot ever be alone, but when it's just you and your flesh can talk into a whole lot if you're not wise and careful in those areas. Dangers of being alone, dangers of being out late. You hear about people, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are what? Evil. You hear about people out at 3 o'clock in the morning and they're out at unholy places and you think, what are you doing out in the middle of the night? There's nothing good happening in the middle of the night unless if you're working, God has you at that place. But the dangers of being out alone by yourself in the middle of the night, and you see in the book of Proverbs that young man that went out in the middle of the night, went through the streets, and this immoral woman caught him. Why? Because he didn't safeguard some areas of his flesh. The dangers of being alone with the opposite gender. You think, well, it's not a big deal. I'm strong enough. Be wise and be careful. The Bible says to not even have the appearance of evil. A place that could even look inappropriate, we must safeguard. Some confidence in the flesh we could have is maybe some areas of past sin. Some areas where you have fallen before, and those are some areas that could come up again. that sin that's taken a bit of a stronghold or a root or some kind of history in your life, and that sin could come back up again. And in our lives, sometimes we say this, well, I can handle my sin. I can handle, I can control it. I can only go so far, and then I can keep it right there. Well, first of all, what amount of sin is God okay with? Right? What amount of wickedness does God say, well, it's just as long as it's small wickedness and not big wickedness, well, I'm okay with that. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It takes just a little bit, and it starts taking over, and that little sin does not stay small. It always grows. Place no confidence in the flesh. Some would say it's not that big of a sin. Or some would even say this, maybe not out loud, but they would think this, well, I know better than God. I know what the Bible says, but I know better than God. We're putting confidence in our flesh and not putting confidence in the Word of God. Not putting confidence in our authority that God has put in our life. We must realize that we are simple people, fleshly people, capable of any sin at any time if we let the flesh take over. We are fleshly people, and we are capable of any sin at any time if we let the flesh take over. So number one tonight, place no confidence in your flesh. Number two is this, and this message is for us personally. It's not to point out to others, but for me personally, the sin that I battle with, I can place no confidence in the flesh. Number two is this, build a consistent and real walk with God. If you're going to avoid failure in your life and sin, you must walk with God. You cannot do it on your own. I cannot do it on my own. We live in too wicked of a world, too wicked of a flesh, and too smart of the devil than to try to make it through this life and to battle my sin all by myself. You must build a consistent and real walk with God. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, please, and we're going to look at a few verses this evening. In Galatians chapter 5, we must build our spiritual strength if we're going to stand for God. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 16, and we're going to read down to the end of this book, or the end of this chapter, I'm sorry. In Galatians 5, it says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh." What do you have to do first of all, though? Walk in the Spirit. And then you'll not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. So the first duty we have is to walk in the Spirit. As a young person, I always thought this, well, if I can fight the flesh, if I can battle the flesh, then I can walk in the Spirit. If I can battle my sin, then I can walk with God. And then the Lord showed me it's opposite of that. You must walk in the Spirit, and then you can not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And it talks about this of being led by the Spirit and led by the flesh. And guess what? We only have two options. To be led by the Spirit or to be controlled by the flesh. Naturally, we're controlled by the flesh. Naturally, the flesh just takes over. You have to determine and purpose to walk in the Spirit. It does not happen by accident. It continues on to say this in verse number 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." Look at the works of the flesh here, all right? This is if my flesh takes over. This is what happens in my life. In verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." They're shown. They're brought to light. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. A whole good list of things I want in my life, right? You want those in your life? It continues on. The list continues. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the works of the flesh. If you wake up and live after the flesh, that's a part of your life. Now it flips the coin if you walk in the Spirit. And says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You have two choices this evening. You're going to walk in the flesh or you're going to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to have the works of the flesh. They're going to be part of your life. And guess what? You don't get to choose how far they go. The flesh is going to choose how far that goes. But if you walk in the Spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering in your life. You cannot live in the Spirit if you're walking in the flesh. You cannot live in the Spirit, have the fruit of the Spirit, if you're walking in the flesh each day. If each day you get up and you ignore the Word of God, you ignore your prayer time, and you don't spend time with God, you're walking in the flesh. You don't have a chance to defeat that sinful nature, but if you get up and you spend time with God and you build that walk with God, you build your spiritual strength. That person that goes to the gym January 1st, they get their membership and they think, I'm going to come and I'm going to be a weightlifter. And they get to the gym that first day and they start pumping weights for the first time. An hour into it, they're a bodybuilder, aren't they? I mean, they're a specimen of a weightlifter, and they're just going to, you know, they've got muscles everywhere from 1 hour in the gym, right? It doesn't work that way. It's going to take hours and hours and consistency, and you're going to have training and all that goes on. I'm not a weightlifter, so that's as far as I go with that. But understand this, that if you're going to build your physical strength, it takes daily work. It takes effort. It takes hours and hours and hours of work. How come we think as a Christian that we can ignore the Word of God and still have our spiritual strength? Why do we think that we can ignore the Word of God and not spend time with God and go, man, I wonder why I keep falling to sin every day. I wonder why my flesh keeps taking over, because we're not building our spiritual strength. You must build your spiritual strength in your walk with God. Here's the thing, though. It takes work. It takes work. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes consistency. It takes shutting off the other things of this world and saying, God, I must spend time with you today and let your word speak to me, and to cleanse my heart and to build my strength and my beliefs. How is that going to happen? It's going to be every day in the Word of God. It's not going to happen one day. You think, well, I'm struggling. How do I get right with God? You get in the Word of God and build your spiritual strength, and it happens day by day. It happens one day at a time, walking with God. You are only as strong of a Christian as your time spent with God alone. That many people will never see. Your time spent with God. If you're going to avoid failure in life, maybe you wanted an easier solution. But number one, place no confidence in the flesh. But number two, you must build your consistent and real walk with God. Number three is this: pray for protection and deliverance from sin. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 13. You were just there a bit ago. Matthew chapter 6. In verse number 13, this is part of the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, as it's generally said. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 13, if we're going to avoid failure, we must pray for protection and deliverance from sin. Matthew 6:13 says this, and lead us not into what? Temptation. To lead us not, to give wisdom, to not even go down that road. And it says this, but deliver us from what? From evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know what? Each and every day, starting your day and saying, God, help me to avoid the failures of life today. Help me, God, to avoid that sin, as the book of Hebrews says, that sin which does so easily beset you. That sin that you struggle with, maybe it's your spirit, maybe it's your words, maybe it's some kind of an action, maybe it's music or friendships, whatever it may be, say, God, would you help and deliver me and protect me from sin today? Did you pray that today? Did you ask God to help to guard you from sin? You say, I'm going to church today. What sin could I be facing today? Oh, the devil's good at what he does. And your sinful nature is going to find a way to find sin each and every day and present that before you. We must pray for protection and deliverance from sin. You ever notice this, that sin is everywhere? You ever notice that? Sin is everywhere. You go out in public and sin is everywhere. You turn on a device and if you're not wise enough to protect it, sin is everywhere. It is surrounding you everywhere you go, and especially more in the summertime. You can't hardly go out in public because sin is constantly around you. And you must pray for guidance. You must pray for deliverance, for protection, for God to guide you. I'm not going to have you turn there for sake of time, but in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God. The armor of God. Do you pray for the armor of God? It says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the what? In the Lord. Not in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Then it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hey, without the armor of God, you and I do not stand a chance against the devil. He has defeated much better Christians than you and I, and we must be careful and put on the armor of God. It says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. I think God is giving us the encouragement that we must take the armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil. The armor of God continues talking about your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation and gospel of peace, continues on, and then it finishes with prayer. Prayer. We must pray in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We must be praying for strength and deliverance from our flesh, from the devil, from this wicked world that is around us. Pray for protection and deliverance from sin. We must understand that our strength and help comes from God. I want to give you one more point tonight, and we'll finish with this. How to avoid failure. Number one, we must place no confidence in the flesh. We must build a consistent and a real walk with God. Number three, pray for protection and deliverance from sin. And then number four, we must hide God's word in our hearts. Turn over to Psalms 119, please, in verse number 9. Psalms 119 and verse number 9. Many of these first few points all really go together with finding our strength with God. No strength in myself, but putting all of our strength and our confidence in God and His Word. And in Psalms 119, in verse number 9, the Bible says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy, what? To thy word. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy, what? To thy word. You must take heed to the word of God if you want to battle and cleanse yourself from sin. It continues on in verse 10. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. How are we gonna guard ourselves from sin? Let's make it practical. Tomorrow, how are you going to battle that sin? How are you going to get victory over that sin tomorrow that defeats you every single day? How are you going to get victory over the sin that seems to have that stronghold in your life and you just can't seem to get rid of it. It's just that battle in your life. You must hide God's word in your heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine, what? Heart, that I might not sin against thee. I believe very strongly in the power of the word of God, don't you? And when you battle sin, use scripture to battle that sin. Going back to Jesus, when he was in the wilderness and the devil came to tempt him there, how did Jesus battle Satan? With the word of God. He defeated him with the word of God each and every time. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You must get scripture verses in your heart and in your life that help to battle your sin. So let's say this, you battle your spirit. What are some Bible verses about your spirit that you can memorize to help you to defeat that wrong spirit? You battle with having wrong music in your life. Well, what does the Bible say about scripture verses about your music, about your friendships, about an addiction, a failure in your life? Get scripture and hide God's word in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. When you take the word of God in your heart, and you not only hide it in your heart, but you apply it, you memorize it. Use the word of God as a weapon to defeat Satan and sin. Satan cannot stand up to God. Right? Satan cannot stand up to God, and Satan cannot stand up to the word of God. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will what? He'll flee from you. You can defeat Satan with God's help when you take the word of God and you quote scripture to help you to battle sin. So let's take the word of God and let's memorize the word of God. There's a strength from the word of God. It's great to have your Bible, and it's great to read your Bible and to spend time there, but to get tools that help you specifically in your life to hide the word of God in your heart, to memorize that scripture, maybe to save it on your phone, or let's go old school and put on a 3x5 card or a sticky note for our sticky note people out there. Put it on your mirror, put it in your car somewhere to memorize that verse to help you to battle sin, not only just to memorize it, but to meditate on it. To meditate on the word of God and to muse on it, to think about that scripture throughout that day and say, God, would you help me in this area with my thoughts? Help in this area of forgiveness or bitterness. Whatever it may be, there's a Bible verse that applies to everything you'll face in life. Right? There's scripture for everything that you'll face in life. If you'll claim the word of God and the promises of God and ask for God's help as you battle sin. Remember this as we finish tonight, and we'll continue this next week. But understand this. We're all going to battle sin each and every day, or we'll fall to sin every day. You will either battle your sin and ask God to get victory over the sin, or you will fall to that sin over and over and over again. But remember this, the Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Hey, with God's help, just keep getting back up. Just keep getting back up. But I want to encourage you with this, starting this week. One thing great about a new week, and I know it's the first day of the week, is this. As you start the week and as you get into it, why don't we start a day saying, God, instead of getting to the end of the day and having to ask for forgiveness for all the stuff that we pile up throughout the day, what if at the beginning of the day we spend time with God and His Word and on our knees in prayer and hiding God's Word in our heart so that as we go throughout the day, we can avoid some of the pitfalls, some of the failures, some of the things that where Satan has got you before, and then Satan goes, man, I didn't get him this time, maybe next time. And you use the word of God, apply it in your life, and ask for God to help you to avoid some of the failures in life. Heads bowed and eyes closed. God, I pray that you'd help us tonight in the area of some failures, some sins. There's not a single person in this room that is not battling with sin each and every day, because we carry with us a sinful nature. We live in a sinful world, And we have a wicked enemy, the devil, that would love to try to defeat us in our lives. God, I pray that you would help and give us victory this week. Help us to avoid some areas where Satan has gotten victory before, but help, Lord, with your strength, with the word of God, for us to get victory this week in an area of our life. With head bowed and eyes closed, maybe God spoke to you about something specific tonight. You don't need to tell me, but would you talk to God about that tonight? Every one of us is going to battle this flesh until the day that we die. And if we don't battle the flesh is going to get the victory. With head bowed and eyes closed, if God spoke to your heart from the word of God and God spoke to you in a specific area of some areas, maybe a help to avoid some sin or some sin that's maybe taken a stronghold, would you spend time with God tonight? With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? The invitation time will begin.